Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara that we are going to pick up with on Daf Lamed Hey is found a few lines down from the top, where you'll notice two dots. The Dibur HaMaschil Hisio LeDavar Acher V'chulei. This is a quote from the Mishnah, where we saw a discussion between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yeshua, where Rabbi Yishmael was investigating what is the basis of the prohibition of Gvinas Akum, of cheese produced by idol worshippers. In that discussion, we noticed that Rabbi Yeshua was offering answers that were easily rebuffed by Rabbi Yishmael. And toward the end of that discussion, in the Mishnah on Chof Tes Omid Beis, Rabbi Yeshua diverted the discussion to something that appears to be totally unrelated. He was asking about how Rabbi Shmuel reads a posuk in Shir HaShirim. At this point, the Gemara is picking up with that part of the Mishnah. On the outside margin of Daf Lamed Hey, we have a nosei, a topic heading. You'll notice it says there, Hezber Hoifas Apostle Ki Toivim Doidecho Miyayin, the Mishnah Senu. Here the Gemara will be explaining the presence of that particular posuk in our Mishnah. Continuing in the Gemara now, My Ki Toivim Doidecho Miyayin. What is the explanation of that posuk? Ki also Ravdimi Omar. When Ravdimi came, he said, Omro Knesset Yisrael Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The community of Israel, the Jewish people, said to God, Ribono shel Olam, Arevim Olai, pleasant to me, Arevim is pleasant, Divrei Dodecha, Yoser Miyeno shel Torah. The Divrei Dodecha is a reference to rabbinic rulings, rabbinic teachings are sweeter to me than the basic Torah, written Torah itself. My shno high kro deshaile. The Gemara is asking, what is special about this particular pasuk that was chosen by Rabbi Yeshua in his basis of diverging the conversation to something other than the cheese? Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi vitema Rabbi Shimon bar Ami me reisha tekro ka'omar le. Though it wasn't featured in the Mishnah, the intention of Rabbi Yeshua was to allude to the beginning of that pasuk. In other words, when he said, how do you read this pasuk, he was trying to hint to him that look at the entire pasuk, the beginning of the pasuk. That's Mereshe Dekra, from the earlier part. Ka'omar Le is what Rabbi Yeshua intended to communicate to Rabbi Yishmael. Well, what does it say in the earlier part? Yishokeni Minishikois Pihu. The pasuk itself has to do with a kiss. Omar Le, Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Shmuel thusly, and this was his intent. Though this part of the discussion was not featured in the Mishnah when we learned the Mishnah, but this was the intent. Yishmuel Achi, brother Yishmuel. Now, in other words, Rabbi Yishmael, you know, you're asking me about the cheese and the reason for its being prohibited. Chashok sifseisech azubazu, clench your lips together. In other words, remain silent. And the imagery here is in giving a kiss, one closes his lips and gives the kiss. So he says, close your lips, clench your lips together. V'al tevahel lahashiv. And don't be so quick in responding. My time. Why was Rabbi Yeshua advocating this silent approach to the issue of the cheese prohibition and sort of saying, suggesting, don't investigate it too much. Omar Ula Vitema Rabbi Rav Shmuel Bar Abba. Gezero Chadosha Hi. The prohibition of the cheese at the time of the discussion with Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Shmuel was a new prohibition. It was a recently installed restriction. The Ein Mefakpekin Ba, and we don't try to analyze it too much. Dig Mefakpek Rashi says Chatita Badover, to dig in after it. My Gezerta, what's the problem? What's the reason that they instituted this restriction? So the Gemara offers to this particular question numerous responses, and that's what we're going to see very shortly. The markings that we have in the Gemara are designed to create a sense of order of what's going to take place. Let us take a look at the Nosei Mivneh heading that we have in the outside margin. We have a double underline, which is one of our series markings, and that's featured in the outside margin. There are five shitois, five explanations or approaches. Loma gozru al gvinois akum, isur achila bili isur hanol. Why is it that they imposed on the cheese of the idol worshippers a prohibition in eating it, but not a prohibition in benefiting from it? There's another. There's a detail over here, and we have an asterisk indicating a note that we've written in underneath this. This asterisk says Hamivneh v'Hamispur shel Hashitos. The structure of the Gemara and the numbering of the opinions that we see, Befrat Ahit Yachasut leRabbi Yirmiyah, and with a special attention to the way we're going to approach Rabbi Yirmiyah in the Gemara. He appears a little bit later, a few lines down from here. Havi lefi toisvis, namely Rabbeinu Tam, Dibur Hamaschil lefi. And there's a toisvis lefi that appears in the wide lines. Masha'en kein lefi Rashi, Dibur Hamaschil lefi. The approach we're going to be taking with our numberings is going to be in contrast to the Rashi's approach. Rabbi Yirmiyah, Havi Shita Neisefes, according to Rashi, Rabbi Yirmiyah represents an additional opinion. V'hainu de begvina shel akum yesh chashash l'cholav tome. According to Rashi, you will see that Rabbi Yirmiyah represents another opinion that, with regard to the cheese, there's a chashash of milk from unkosher animals. However, according to Tosfos, Rabbi Yirmiyah will not represent an additional opinion. So we just asked the question in the Gemara of what was the reason for the gzeiro being made. That was my gzeirta. Answer number one: Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Nikur. Nikur has to do with the chashash of a venomous creature having eaten from it. So that the fear is that idol worshippers, in producing cheese, leave it exposed to venomous creatures, and if they eat from it, they will deposit their venom in it, and the venom will eventually become dangerous. It'll be dangerous to one who eats the cheese. We have a bracket that appears in the Gemara, and this requires a little bit of explanation, because if you look closely, you'll notice that we have a brackets within a brackets, so that on the left hand side of the Gemara text, immediately to the left hand side, you see a length indicator that's a dash dotted vertical line. That indicates where the outside brackets complete, finish. that would bring you to Shmuel. You can see four lines from the bottom, or the last narrow line of Gemara, Shmuel Omar Mitnei Shemamidim Oisa Beor Kevas Nevela. Shmuel represents a second opinion as to why the idol worshippers' cheese is forbidden. It's because they produce the cheese, they harden it with the use of the of organ meat, the or the flesh of the keva. In other words, as opposed to keva, which is an expression we've seen in previous dapim, referring to the sour milk inside the stomachs of calves, here the Gemara is referring to the stomach itself. The stomach itself is referred to by the term or keva. We will see on Amud Beis a third, fourth, and fifth opinions as to why the idol worshippers' cheese is forbidden. However, until we get to all those additional reasons, we have the text of Gemara to deal with, and we've demonstrated already just the use of the out of the brackets, the outer brackets. Now we want to take note of the inner brackets as well. The Gemara, after reading Rabbi Shimon Levi's explanation of Mishum Nikor, we would then get a, if you skip the inner brackets, you would then pick up with the expression Megadeth Ba Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya is going to be a direct attack on that reason, on the reason of Nikor. That's where Megadeth Ba Rabbi Yirmiya, as you can see after the closing of the angular brackets, and there's also a length indicator for these inner brackets, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you notice a vertical series of dots, and as we call it, a dotted vertical line. That shows you the length of this angular brackets. And right afterwards, you see Megadeth Ba Rabbi Yirmiya Elo Me'ata. He says Rabbi Yirmiya, Megadeth is a harsh expression of dissatisfaction. Some you could say Rabbi Yirmiya cursed out this reason. And he said Elo Me'ata, if the reason is because of Nikor, which is an issue of venom, then Tishteri Yoshan. Elomayato Yaveshah Tishteri Yoshan Tishteri. There should be an allowance made for dry, in other words, cheese that's completely hardened, because if there were venom, the venom would prevent it from becoming hardened. And likewise, Yoshan Tishteri, aged cheese should be allowed, because the venom would retard the aging process, and if it ages, so then it's a sign that there is no venom. That will be the essence of the of that section of the Gemara. So that for the reading of the Gemara, you can see that you would first read Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi says the problem is Nikor, and then you get to Rabbi Yirmiya, and Rabbi Yirmiya attacks that reason, that doesn't sound like a legitimate reason. Well, the Gemara will deal with that. Within these angular brackets, there's a technical question of if the prohibition is in fact because of Nikor, of the venom having been deposited there, then why doesn't Rabbi Yeshua just say, you want to know why the idol worshipper's cheese is forbidden? It's because of Nikor. Why didn't he say that? And that will be the discussion within the angular brackets. The Hesber for all of this has been provided in the inside margin. You'll notice there's a double asterisk, and we've written in a note, Sograyim, Toch Sograyim, the brackets within a brackets, is the point one, is Dilug Al Hamukaf Be Sograyim, with these, the suggestion of skipping the section that's with these rounded braces. That's Me'afsher Re'iyas Retzef HaShitos. It affords you the ability to see the series of shitas, series of opinions, as we did. You had first Rabbi Shimon Levi before the curled brackets, and then if you skip the curled brackets, you then see opinion number two as to why they banned the cheese. So that gives you a feeling of the continuity of the opinions. Kefi Shetsuyan Banosei, as we indicated in the topic heading in the outside margin. Then, acharei ha sograyim, after these angular brackets, you see the expression megadev ba Rabbi Yirmiyah. And what is that? Havikusha al etzematam shenosan Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The megadev ba Rabbi Yirmiyah is an attack on the reason given by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And then betoch ha sograyim, within the angular brackets, have a she'ela b'nisuach, is a question in terms of the wording of things. With all of that introduction in place, let us now go through the Gemara itself. So the question had been raised: why was there a ban imposed on the Gentile cheese? So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi provided the first hesber, and that is because of the fear of venom having been deposited in the cheese by their leaving it exposed to venomous creatures. The Gemara, Velema le mishum nikur, why doesn't Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah just tell Rabbi Shmuel the reason that cheese of the Gentiles has been banned is because of the nikur problem, the venom issue? The Gemara answers, the reason he didn't answer is as follows. Kide Ula, based on Ula's teaching, Diomar Ula, ki gazri gezerta b'marova, when bans are issued in Eretz Yisrael, lo megalu taimo atresa yarchi shosa, the reason for the ban or the prohibition is not revealed until the passage of 12 months. Dilma ika inish delos surlei, because if the reason is given immediately, there may be people that don't hold from it, don't agree with it. The osi lizilzuleva, and they'll attack the explanations given, and the ban will never be taken seriously. It'll never get off the ground. So by having a year of silence regarding the prohibition, even the skeptics out there will say that any reasons I may have, the rabbis probably have a different reason for banning it. And I'll just have to accept it. So the prohibition will take hold after a year, and then it will have the luxury of revealing the reasons behind it and not fear that the skeptics will come to weaken the ban. Now a question. We have a question, a length indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. You see a kuf that's encircled with a dashed vertical line. That indicates the length of this question. Megadef ba Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah attacks the reason given by Rabbi Shimon Levi. Elo me'ata. If it were so that Nikur is the reason for the prohibition of the cheese, and Nikur, as we mentioned, is an issue of the presence of venom, Yevesha Tishteri, hardened cheese, dry cheese, should be allowed. Yoshan Tishteri, or if it's aged, it should be allowed. The Omar Rabbi Chanina, Yavesh Mutar, Ein Manicho Liabesh. Rabbi Chanina teaches that dried or hardened, fully hardened cheese, no matter where it comes from, is okay because there is no fear of venom being in there, because venom would not allow it to become hardened. Yoshan mutter, if it's aged, it would be allowed because ein manichoi liyashen, the venom retards the aging process, and it wouldn't become aged if there was venom. The question then is, why is it that all Gentile cheese is forbidden? If I would have dried or aged, it should be allowed, and yet we don't see an allowance for that. Omar Rabbi Chanina. Lefi she'i efshir lo beloy tzichsuche cholav. The reason is that it's impossible to have cheese, even if it appears to be hardened. There may be droplets of milk in there, And in that area, according to Tosis's explanation, the venom may be over there, where the droplets of milk are. In other words, some small section of the cheese that did not actually fully harden. So it's because of that fear that we can't allow any idol worshippers' cheese, even though it may appear to be yovesh. And nevertheless, there's a chashash, there's a suspicion or a fear of the little droplets of unhardened cheese that are still in milk form, and it is there that the venom may be present. Ushmuel Omar, Mipnei Shema'amidim Oiso Beor Kevas Nevela. Shmuel says that the prohibition of the Gentile cheese is because they cause it to congeal, to harden, using the stomach of unslaughtered animals. From this we will infer ha keva gufa sharya, but the sour milk itself, the keva gufa is a reference to the milk inside of the stomachs of calves that are not slaughtered, that milk itself is okay because we're going to call it pirsha biyama. It's mere waste. It's not part of the animal itself. It's, in this case, it's milk that it nursed from its mother. The Gemara asks, Umi Omar Shmuel Hachi? Would Shmuel really say thusly that keva is allowed? Keva is the sour milk of nevelos. Is that allowed? V'hatanan. We have a Mishnah in Chulin that indicates that it's forbidden. And the Gemara right now has a brackets we have written in. These brackets are because that which is contained within represents a problematic lashon. So when the Gemara is asking here, V'ha Tanan, have we not learned in a Mishnah in Chulin, we should first skip the brackets for the accurate reading and then go over it. The Mishnah says, Kevas Shchitas Ove Kechavim Nevela Asura. The sour milk found in animals slaughtered by idol worshippers, the slaughtering of idol worshippers is a Nevela, it's halachically speaking. It's a non-shchita. Shchita has very specific halachas in how to perform it. An Ove Kechavim is not knowledgeable of how to perform shechita, so the Ovid Kochavim's killing of an animal is tantamount to making it a nevela, meaning something that's called unslaughtered halachically. And it says in that Mishnah Asura that the keva is also, notice with our markings we've dashed underlined the critical expressions keva or kevas and asura. What do we see from this? We see that Shmuel, who is quoting the Mishnah in Chulin, which prohibits the Kevas Nevela. So why is it that we got the impression beforehand that Shmuel is saying that the only problem is that they make the cheese using the stomach itself, but the milk found inside of the stomach would be okay, whereas the Mishnah in Chulin would indicate that it's prohibited? We have then a stira in Shmuel's. The Gemara will answer this question on the top of Omid Beis by saying, Lo kashya kan kodem chazora, kan le'acher chazora, u'mishna lo izozo mimekoyma. We will explain that momentarily. But before we get to that, we have to go over the Gemara in the brackets. So let's go over the text again. Starting from the middle of the first of the widest lines of the Gemara, or in three lines from the bottom, Umi Omar Shmuel Hachi. Would Shmuel say thusly, namely that the keva itself, the sour milk itself, found inside the animals of Gentiles is okay? But V'hatanan, we have a Mishnah in Chulin, and we're going to read straight through now, realizing that what we're going to read now is subject to tikkun. V'atnan, the Mishnah says, Kevas ha'oved kechavim v'shel nevela hare zu asura. The keva of Gentiles and of the unslaughtered animals, sounding like there's two separate things. There's keva of Gentile animals, and there's keva of nevela animals, nevela being unslaughtered animals. Harezu asura, they're both prohibited. V'havinon bo, and we ask, Atu de'ovid kichavim lav nevela hi. Are you suggesting that the slaughterings of the Gentiles is itself not nevela? Because you're, the way the text of the Mishnah that's presented here indicates, there are two separate categories. You have keva of ovid kichavim, and you have keva of nevela. When we know that the slaughter, the those things slaughtered by idol worshippers itself is nevela. The Omar Shmuel, and we've dashed underlined Shmuel because Shmuel is the focus of our discussion. And Shmuel comes along and says, Chada Kotoni, the Mishnah and Chulin really should be understood as one entity, as follows. Kevas Shchitas Ovid Kechavim, the sour milk found inside of animals slaughtered by idol worshippers, Nevela Asura. Their slaughtering is equal to, is tantamount to nevela. It makes it a nevela. Nevela is that which is slaughtered shelo kadin, is slaughtered improperly. So the slaughterings of idol worshippers is an improper slaughtering, and asura means the keva is asura. So how can we how could Shmuel imply just before this bracketed section that the keva itself is mutter? By the way, with our markings, we've also dashed underlined the expression on the first wide line, ha keva gufa sharia, where keva is mutter, and then you contrast that with this bottom dashed underline where we indicate keva is aser. Lo kashi, the Gemara answers, there's no contradiction. It's all a matter of point in history that these things were taught. Kan koidem chazora, the Mishnah in Chulin, which indicates that the sour milk inside the stomachs of calves is prohibited, is before the retraction. This is a reference to the discussion between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Yishmael. The initial reason given for the prohibition of the Gentile cheese that was offered by Rabbi Yeshua, in other words, the explanation offered by Rabbi Yeshua was because they prepared the cheese using the kevas nevela, indicating that kevas nevela, that the sour milk inside of the stomachs of calves that were not slaughtered properly, that it itself is prohibited. So the Mishnah Chulin is reflecting the position taken by Rabbi Yeshua before Rabbi Yishmael responded to it, and hence before Rabbi Yeshua changed the reason. So it reflects the original reason given by Rabbi Yeshua. Kan, the comment made by Shmuel that said the reason the cheese is usher is because they use the stomach itself for the curdling process, and implying that the sour milk, as opposed to the stomach, the sour milk found inside of the stomach is okay, that's li'achar chazora. That's after the response given by Rabbi Shmuel, which indicated, if one looks back at the Mishnah, one sees that the keva is termed pirsho b'yama, and we saw in the Mishnah where Rabbi Yishmael said that even the keva of olos is allowed, and olos being something that itself is osir b'hanoah, but the keva, the sour milk found inside the stomachs of korban olos, is mutter. That shows unequivocally that the keva, the sour milk, is not part of the creature. It's rather called pirsho, literally something that's separated from the animal, or waste found in the animal. So you have these two different comments of Shmuel, or opinions reflecting Shmuel. They simply refer to two different periods in time. Now, the Mishnah in Chulin, which Shmuel helped to clarify, that Mishnah which indicated that the keva is prohibited, the sour milk itself is prohibited, we said that was a Mishnah that reflects an earlier point in history, namely before Rabbi Shmuel ever responded to Rabbi Yeshua. And the Gemara says, U'mishnah lo zozo mimakoma. And the Mishnah Chulin, even though it reflects an earlier point in history, it doesn't move out of its spot, which means it remains as it is, because once it was memorized, once it was learned, it was it would be very difficult to uproot the Mishnah from from the different selections of Mishnayos, and we are to be aware, though, that the halacha does not follow that, being that it refers to an earlier point in the halachic development of this matter. We might want to note, parenthetically, based on a Gemara in the 8th Perek of Vava Basra, that we don't paskin, we don't rule based on things that we see in Mishnayos to begin with. So even though you have a Mishnah that reflects something that was subsequently revised, the presence of information that itself is seemingly unaccepted or inaccurate, that doesn't pose any danger as far as practical rulings of halacha, because of what we just said, we don't paskin from Mishnayos to begin with. The Gemara continues now with a number 3, a third hesber, explanation as to the prohibition of the goyishe cheese, of the Gentile produced cheese. Rav Malchio Mishmei de Rav Ado Bar Avo Omar, Bitnei Shemachlikin Poneo Beshumon Chazir. Machlikin Poneo has to do with a smearing down of the exterior of the cheese. They smear the exterior of the cheese with Shumon Chazir, with fats from pigs. And that being an unkosher substance, it renders the entire cheese unfit. Rav Chista Omar, Mipnei Shemamidim Oisa B'choymetz. The prohibition, according to Rav Chista, is because they cause the cheese hardening by, through the use of vinegar. And we might note that vinegar has a wine base to it. In other words, vinegar is produced from wine that, in this case, we're talking about Gentile wine, Yayin Nesech, that the wine itself sours and turns into vinegar. Rav Nachman, a fifth reason, Omar, Mipnei Shemamidim Oisa Besraf Ho'orla, because they produce their cheeses by using sap from Orla. Orla is are fruits of trees that are within their have not been growing for 3 years yet. It's within their first 3 years that produces Orla. So the sap from the Orla is capable of curdling or hardening cheese. And that also creates the prohibition of eating that cheese. Keman, the reason of Rav Nachman that the cheese is prohibited is because of the sap. Who is Rav Nachman based on? Answer, Ki hai tana disnan. He is like the following tana that teaches the following. Rav Lozer Omer, Ha mamid bisraf ha'orla. Also, if one produces cheese using the sap of Orla, the cheese is forbidden. Mipnei shehu peri, because the sap is considered like the fruit of the tree, and Orla fruit is certainly forbidden. So the sap is also forbidden. In effect, the Gemara is really raising a question here when the Gemara asks Keman. Who is Rav Nachman based on? Is he, and the Gemara introduces Rabbi Eliezer, it sounds like that Rav Nachman is based on Rabbi Eliezer and not on someone else. And the Gemara is asking, is that so? Is he based on Rabbi Eliezer and not in conformity to Rabbi Yeshua, who disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer? So the Gemara says you don't have to limit Rav Nachman to Rabbi Eliezer alone. Afilu Tema, Rabbi Yeshua. You can say that Rav Nachman's hesber of the use of the sap of Orla sap prohibits the cheese can conform to Rabbi Yeshua as well. Adkan lo polig Rabbi Yeshua leider Rabbi Eliezer, ela bekatfa de guza. The machlokis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua on this topic of sap concerns the classification of the sap that issues forth from the wood of the Orla tree, of the under 3-year-old tree, where only Rabbi Eliezer classifies that as fruit. Once again, the sap oozing forth from the wood of an orla tree. According to Rabbi Eliezer, that's classified as the fruit of the tree, and as such it has the dinim of orla. Rabbi Yeshua does not view the sap oozing forth from the wood as fruit of the tree, and since it's not viewed as fruit of the tree, Rabbi Yeshua considers it an allowed substance. Aval bekatfo de peira, however, with regard to sap that oozes forth from the fruits themselves, modi, they are in agreement. In other words, Rabbi Yeshua will agree with Rabbi Eliezer that the sap coming from the fruits has a status of the fruit itself. And as such, everyone would agree that cheese produced from fruit sap is prohibited. The Hainu Disnan, and based on this, we have the following teaching. Omar Rabbi, the following Mishnah, and you can see it's in a frame, as are all Tanaic sources in our marking system. The Mishnah there says, Omar Rabbi Yeshua, Shamati Beferush, Sheham Hamamid Bistraf Ha'olin, Ubistraf Ha'ikrin, Mutter, that one who produces cheese by using the sap that oozes from the leaves or from the roots of a tree, the Rabbi Yeshua says the cheese is mutter. However, Bisraf Hapagin Usser, Mipnei Shehu Peri, if he however produces the cheese using the sap of the figs, the fruits themselves, then the cheese is prohibited. Because, as the Mishnah says, because Shehu Peri, the sap is the fruit. The sap of the fruit is considered like the fruit itself, and the fruit itself of an orla tree is prohibited. The Gemara asks, Bain the Rav Chisda, who mentioned the vinegar problem, and Bain the Rav Nachman, who mentioned the orla problem, Titzar Bahana, the cheese should be prohibited even from benefiting from selling it or giving it as a gift. Why is that? Because chometz is associated with yayin nesach, wine. This chometz being the origin of the chometz being wine. Wine is something. Wine of Gentiles is osir bahana. It's forbidden to benefit from it. So the cheese that's produced from that should also be osir to benefit from, not only to eat. And we are discussing the shita of the Rabbanan that says the cheese of goyim is osir only in eating, not in benefiting from. So it doesn't sound like the cheese comes from chometz, because otherwise it should have been banned from Hano as well. And likewise, with regard to Rav Nachman's Hesber, which mentioned that the cheese was produced from sap of orla fruits, well, orla fruits are prohibited from benefiting from, not just eating them. So the question is, why is the cheese prohibited only in eating and not in benefiting from? Kashya. So this remains unresolved. Dorash Rav Nachman Breid Rav Chisda, Mai Dichtiv L'Reach Shmonecha Toivim. What is the Hezber behind that Pasuk? L'ma Talmid Chocham Doime. So the Gemara explains, what is a Talmid Chocham comparable to? L'tzlucha Shel Plaiton, to a flask of, this Plaiton is a type of fragrance. Megulev, if the flask is open, then Reicha Nodef, the scent wafts away, is experienced, is felt by others. Mechusa, if the flask is covered, ein reicha nodef. So then the scent is not appreciated by anyone else. What's the connection to a Talmud Chacham? So the Gemara points out, and you'll actually appreciate it more by looking at the Rashi, Megula Recha Noidev, Vahainu Dichtiv Shemen Turak Shemecha, Kishimegalin Oisa, when you uncover it, Umorikin, and you pour it out, Shimna, like fragrance, the fragrant will say, the shemen, whereas the fragrant is made by adding fragrances to oil. So when you pour out the oil, the shimna, the fragrant oils, klomar, kishe ata melamed teru letamidim, when you teach Torah to students, Oz Yetzei L'cho Shem, then your name gets exposed. So a Talmud Chacham is like a flask of this fragrant oil that when he is covered up and not teaching to others, so his name does not become doesn't become known. When he is when it's uncovered, just like there in the fragrance, others feel it and scent it. So too, when he is felt by others in the sense that he's teaching others, he's affecting others. So his name is scattered and disseminated and becomes well known. Continuing in the Gemara. Velo oid. You'll notice we have a triangle, which was one of our series markings. This is a series of observations with regard to the analogy that we just mentioned. So, the Gemara goes on. Velo oid ela dvorim shemechusin mimenu misgalin loy. That when a Talmud Chacham is megala himself, teaches others things that were hidden, were covered up from him. In other words, things that he didn't know, misgalinlo, become exposed, become revealed on it on their own. Namely, as Rashi says, misgalinloi me'atzmon, by themselves they become revealed. Below Torah, without any additional special efforts, kishu malamdom, when he's teaching over. This is something that happens time and time again, that as one is teaching over Torah, in the course of the teaching, things that were not clear to him before become clear in a simple, in a matter-of-fact way, without special efforts. Shinemar, the pasuk says, over there in the same location, Alamos Ahivucha. Kribe, you can read it thusly, because the holy scriptures are given over without vowels. We have the letters, the following vowelization could be used, alumos. In other words, under the lamed, you would have a diagonal three dots that has the same sound as the vav with a dot in it, namely the alumos sound. You would read it as alumos, meaning hidden. So that, as we just said, that in the course of the Talmud Chacham exposing himself to others, teaching over to others, things that were not clear to him will, on their own, become revealed. Alumos, meaning something that was previously hidden. Veloy oid, not only that, elo, shemalach hamoves ohavo, the angel of death will befriend him, the Talmud Chacham, who teaches others. Shenemar, Alamos Ahivucha Kribe, you can read that alternatively as Al Moves. In other words, the angel appointed Al Moves on death, Ahivucha will love you. Velood Ela Shenofil Shne Oilamos, a person who teaches Torah to others, when he then benefits, inherits two worlds, Echad Oilam Azeh, the Echad Oilam Abba. He benefits in this world, and he benefits in the world to come. Shneemar, alamos, kri bei, olamos. You can also read that word with a cholam, as olamos, the worlds, the two worlds, olam hazeh and olam haba. V'elu dvarim shel ovdei kochavim asurin v'ein isurin isur hana. This is a new list of items. The difference being that they might be prohibited in eating, but they're not prohibited in benefiting from. Cholav shecholavo ovei kochavim ve'ein Yisrael roehu. Notice we've used a phrase marking so that you would read this entire line together. We're talking about milk that was milked by an idol worship without Jewish supervision. So that milk, according to the Mishnah, is something that is usur for a Jew to drink. However, if a Jew gains possession of such milk, he could sell it. V'hapas v'hashemen shelahen, the bread and oils of the Gentiles. V'hashlokos, cooked foods. U'kvoshim shedarkon losis l'soichon yayin v'chometz, and pickled items, where there is added to the pickled brine wine and vinegar. Vitoris trufa. Taurus is a type of small fish that are salted. Now, the taurus fish itself is a kosher variety fish. However, if it's chopped up, then we're choshesh that some unkosher fish pieces are in there also. Vitzir she'ein bo doga kilbis shaitetes bo. Fish brine that you don't find a kilbis fish swimming in it. Now, a kilbis fish is itself an unkosher variety fish. However, it develops, it grows only in the brine of kosher variety fish. So if you see a kilbis swimming around in the brine, that's an indication that the brine, the tzir, is kosher. However, if the tzir doesn't have a kilbis swimming around in it, then it's osir ba'achila. V'hachilik. The chilik is a kosher variety small fish, sometimes called sultanis. The nature of this is that when it's young, it doesn't have the signs of kashrus on it, the fish, the skins, the scales and fins. As it ages, as it grows older, so it these things grow onto it. That doesn't affect the kashrus of the chilik itself. However, when it's fished, when they trap the chilik, there's another type of fish that's unkosher that is often trapped with it. And this unkosher fish called the irvuna looks a lot like the chilik. So the chilik of the idol worshippers is not allowed because they won't separate the irvuna fish from the chilik. The court shall chiltis. The court is of chiltis. Chiltis is a type of very sharp plant, or Rashi calls it min perihu, type of fruit. And the this court is a type of growth, we'll say, that that appears on the fruits. The court shel chiltis. These little growths on the fruits are cut off by the Gentiles using their knives, and the fear is that their knives will have some fats on it, and it'll be absorbed into this court, and that will make it prohibited. Umelach shel koindis. It's a type of salt. The Gemara will offer further explanation to this problem. Hare elu asurin v'ein isurin isranah. All of the things mentioned above are prohibited, but not in terms of benefit, just in terms of eating. The nosei topic heading that we've assigned to this piece of Gemara, you can see in the outside margin, cholav akum, the milk produced by idol worshippers, Ne'esar has been prohibited. Mishum chashash tarubas cholov tome. The ein mivdak she'efsher lismo cholov. The milk is a problem because of the fear that there's a mixture of unkosher type milk in the milk that I'm getting from the Gentile. In other words, you have a mixture of cow's milk with pig's milk. Now we turn to the Gemara. Cholov l'may nechush la. With regard to the milk coming from Gentiles, what is there to worry about? Why do you say that it's osir b'achila? Im ishum ichlufi. If the fear is that he's going to try to give you pig's milk instead of, like a switch around, instead of giving you cow's milk, that won't happen. Because tohor equals chiver. Tome equals yoroik. There's a difference in you when it comes to difference in color when it comes to kosher variety milk and milk coming from unkosher variety animals. The tohar, the kosher variety, is a whiter type ewe to it, whereas the tome is a has a yorok, which is a non-white tinge to it. So that if you see light colored milk given to you by the Gentile, it should be allowed. There's no chashash of switch around when the difference is so obvious. The e mishum yaruve, and if there's a fear that, not that he's going to give you the unkosher milk as a, in a separate fashion, because that we said you will be able to spot. But it's because in the milk that he gives you, he's mixed in some unkosher type milk. Well, that too, we have a solution. Nekum. Nekum means let it turn into cheese. We have a little brackets in the Gemara right now, and we'll skip it momentarily to help in the reading. The Gemara says if it's because of aruve that he'll mix in unkosher milk to the kosher milk that he's serving you, then well, e de kavoy ligvina hachinami. If the Jew needs it for cheese producing purposes, hachinami means we can say this suggestion of nekum, and if it hardens, it'll be okay. Hocho b'mayaskinan, here in our question, what are we asking about? We're asking about a case where he doesn't need it for cheese making purposes, but dekaboy le kimcha. He needs it for preparing a kimcha food, which is which is not cheese. Well, and even so, the Gemara still has a suggestion. Why do you ban the milk that you get from the goyim that you want to use for kimcha? And if it's because of this, because the unkosher milk is mixed in, we still have a solution for that. And that's what the Gemara goes on to say, v'nishko minei koli, take a little bit of the milk you got from them, v'nekum, and set it aside to turn into cheese. And as we said before, as we'll mention that, the point that was featured in the brackets is that unkosher milk doesn't turn into cheese. Let's go over this piece of Gemara again with the bracketed section. The question we're dealing with is what could the problem be with the Gentile milk? So the Gemara said on the very end of the last narrow line of Gemara, "Ve'imi shumi aruve nekum." If your fear is that there's unkosher milk mixed into the milk that you're getting from him, then nekum, set it aside till it turns into cheese, and see if it hardens like hard cheese. The Omer Mar, Cholav Tohor Omeid, Cholav Tomei Eino Omeid. Only kosher variety milk turns into cheese. Pig's milk or horse milk won't Omeid. It won't turn into hard cheese. So could you not do this nekum test? And if it passes this test, if it turns into hard cheese, so I know that the milk that he gives me is okay. So the Gemara says, well, you have a point. Is idikaboy ligvina, if he's getting this milk for cheese production purposes, then hochinami, then you can do the nekum test. Hocho b'mayaskinon, in our discussion, which is where the cheese is, where the milk is usser, where it's usser, and we're not offering this counsel, this eitza of nekum. You know why? The kaboy le lekamcha. He wants the milk for kamcha, which is for eating in a special kind of dish called the kamcha dish, but he doesn't want it for cheese. You notice we have a trapezoid figure here. This trapezoid is to show the different stages in developing the explanation. The Gemara asks, okay, even though I don't want the milk that I'm getting from the Gentile for making cheese, but nevertheless, v'nishkol minei koli v'nekum, why not just take a little bit of it, a little bit of the milk, set it aside till the little bit turns into cheese, and if it does, so it shows me that the rest of the milk is okay. So why is it that I don't have this nekum test? So the Gemara answers, Kevon de betohor nami, iko nisubi de lo kaimi, leko lemekum alo de milsa. Since in the making of cheese, if you use tohor milk in making cheese and having it harden, there still remains parts of it that don't harden. These are droplets of milk that are in the cheese. That's what is nisubi, is these droplets, the lo kaimi, that don't harden. And therefore, leko lemekum alo de milsa means I'll never be able to really discover the real situation. Because what was the suggestion? Take off a little bit and see if it hardens. Well, it might harden. That's the kosher part of the milk that's hardening. But there may be little sections in the cheese that don't harden. And I won't know is that those little sections in my test cheese, are they simply kosher milk that didn't congeal? Or it's in fact the unkosher variety milk that never congeals? Another approach is afilu tema dekoboi lo ligvina. Notice we have another trapezoid marking. The first one was talking about a situation where he did not want it for cheese making purposes, and here we're saying even if we wanted it for cheese making purposes, I still can't matir the milk from the goyim. Iko dekoi beini atfi. Between the different crevices in the cheese, there may be little pockets of milk that don't harden, and as we saw above, it will remain indeterminate whether that's in fact the unkosher milk that's been mixed in that doesn't harden. Vehapas. The Mishnah made reference to the bread of Gentiles that's usher to eat and mutter bahana. Omar of Kahana, Omar of Yochanan. Pas lo hutra bebeistin. Pas of Goyim never received an allowance, permission from the court. This statement sounds like someone is allowing it, but it didn't get court license, court approval to be allowed. Michlal de'iko ma'adashari. It sounds from this that there is someone that allows it. Pas akum. The Gemara says, in. There is someone that allows it. And the Gemara will now present attempts to find or demonstrate who it is. The topic heading that we have on the side, we have a nosemivne with a diamond featured. Nisoyon levarer shitas Rebbe v'inyan pas akum. Attempts to clarify shitas Rebbe with regard to the Gentile bread. The Gemara goes on and says, "Dechi oso Rav Dimi Omar, pam achas." When Rav Dimi came, he told us that pam achas yotza Rebbe lasodeh. Rebbe is Rebbe Yudah Nasi, went to the fields. Vehevi oivei kichavim lefonov pas porni maifas sa'a, and an idol worshiper presented him with pas porni is bread baked in a large oven. Maifas sa'a was the size of the bread. Omar Rebbe, and Rebbe said, kama noa pas zu. How beautiful is this bread? we have a bracketed section, so we would initially skip it. And Rebbe's comment should really be read as follows: Kama noa pazu, ma ro'u chachomim le'oisra basode. What is it that they saw fit to prohibit it from being eaten even in the fields, even if you're not eating it in the presence of Gentiles? So when they heard this exclamation of Rebbe, who said, wow, this, how is it you can have such beautiful bread? Why in the world would the Chachamim ban it from being consumed while in the field? Well, when people heard that, Kisvurin Ha'om Hitir Rebbe Hapas, people thought that Rebbe was declaring the pas of Goyim to be mutter. Velohi, and that's not true. Rebbe lo hitir es hapas. Rebbe was not being matir the pas. Let's go over the Gemara that we skipped, and we'll go over this entire Gemara again. The Gemara was asking, is there someone that's matir the bread? So Rav Dimi told us a story involving Rebbe going into the field and some Gentile giving him presenting him with a very big loaf, and Rebbe says, and we're looking at the Gemara right before the brackets and where Rebbe's name is dashed underlined, Omar Rebbe, Kama Noe Pazu, Ma Ro'u Chachomim Le'Oisra. How beautiful is this bread here, this Goy's bread? What in the world did the Chachomim see to ban it? So the Gemara interrupts and says, Ma Ro'u Chachomim, you're asking what did the Chachomim see to ban it? Well, everyone knows Mishum Chasnas. It's because of the fear that if we eat their bread, that we'll develop a sense of closeness with them, with the idol worshippers, and then we'll end up having our children marry each other. So to read this story with Rebbe asking such a question, what in the world did the Chum see to ban it? Rebbe would never have asked that. Ela, ma ro chachomim le'oisro basode. Rebbe's question is not like we saw before, what did the Chum see to ban it in general? That's, we know why it's in general banned. But why did they ban it even in the fields? Rashi says, second line from the very bottom, there is no fear for one being drawn toward the Gentile. The akroi b'amuhu, meeting him in the field with a loaf of bread is a very unusual. It's akroi means it's like just a chance meeting, and it's not something that we would have to really. We wouldn't create a ban against something that's just a very chancy type of event from happening. So when the people heard that Rebbe exclaimed thusly, why is it that the Chachamim banned the bread in the fields, or even in the fields, so Kisfur Na'om Hitir Rebbe Apas, people thought that Rebbe was allowing the bread of Gentiles. Velohi, and that's not true. Rebbe lo hitir es apas. Rebbe was not trying to matir the bread. Rav Yosef Itema Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Omar, Rav Yosef comes and says, Lo ka hoya maisa, elo, amru. The story that he gives, and you'll notice with our markings, we have a Roman numeral number 1 next to the Rav Dimi, the line where Rav Dimi appeared, which was the first diamond. And here we have a Roman numeral number 2, also in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, indicating a second version of that incident. So he says, Rav Yosef says, that lo kachoya maisela omru, but rather it's as follows: Pam achas holach Rebbe lemokum echod, v'ro pas dochuk letamidim. Rebbe once went to a certain location and found that there was very little. There was a sparsity of bread for the students. Omar Rebbe ein kan palter. Rebbe exclaimed when he visited that place. He says, "Is there no palter? Palter is a baker of large quantities of bread." People thought that when Rebbe was saying, is there no palter around here to provide the bread, that Rebbe was referring to an idol worshipper, baker. And if that would have been the case, then Rebbe then was saying that the bread produced from the idol worshipping baker would be okay. The Gemara now points out that In fact, Rebbe did not say all of that. Ella Palter Yisrael. Rebbe, when he came to this place where there was a sparsity of bread, he said, is there no Palter Yisrael over here? Is there no Jewish baker? Omar Rebbe Chelbo. Afilu Lamanda Omar Palter Ovi Kohoven. Even according to the approach that said that Rebbe was matir the bread. In other words, Rebbe was asking, like the first version of the story, like the Havamina will say, where Rebbe asked, is there no palter? And the Havamina of the people was, this case, is there no palter, idol worshiper, baker? So even if you accept that approach, lo amoran ella deleko palter Yisrael, Rebbe would have allowed the non-Jewish baker to produce bread for the Jewish community. That's if there is no Jewish baker in the area. Avo v'mokom diiko palter Yisrael, lo. But in a place that there would be a Jewish baker, Rebbe would not allow the idol worshiper baker bread to be used, to be consumed by the community. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, filu l'man Omar, palter ovi kuchavim. Rabbi Yochanan also offers his qualification. Even according to the lenient opinion that Rebbe was asking for a palter ovi kuchavim, hanimili basodeh, that's all fine and good, and it's all true if you'll be eating the bread in the fields. Avo be'ir lo. But in town, getting breads from the palter ovi kuchavim, Rebbe never intended to allow that. And why not? Mishum chasnus. Because of the fear of developing closeness with the Gentile and eventually coming to marry one another. Ivo, it's the name of a Rav, have manchis the ochel pas abe mitzori. He, manchis, would bite into the bread and eat it, abe mitzori, in the fields near the borders. Omar luhu rahu vitem rav nachman by Yitzhok. Lo tishto mine de Ivo. Don't speak with him. The ka'ochil lachmo darmoi. He eats Gentile produced bread. So that even though Ivo seemed to take these precautionary steps in eating the bread at the borders of fields, that didn't seem to impress Rava or Rav Nachman Yitzhak. With this, we conclude our shiur for today.